It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than conversations with a science denier. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
And comedian Rob Eppel.
Hello there. How you doing?
Happy New Year when this is being aired.
Yes, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Let's see what we're going to do tonight. We're going to reveal what the scammers are saying and hackers are saying about us. We haven't done that in a while, so we'll dust off that. But there might be some banned words for the CDC, so we're going to delve into that, because I always like when science can't use certain words. I always feel things are headed in the right direction when that's going on. Policy analysts at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta were told of the list of verboten words at a meeting Thursday with senior CDC officials who oversee the budget, according to an analyst who took part in a 90-minute briefing. The forbidden words are vulnerable, entitlement, diversity, transgender, fetus, evidence-based, and science-based. Banned!
Banned!
In some instances, the analysts were given alternative phrases. Instead of science-based or evidence-based, the suggested phrase is, CDC bases its recommendations on science and consideration with community standards and wishes. Of course it does. The person said, in other cases, no replacements were offered. You're on your own. The reaction of people in the meeting was incredulous, the analyst said. It was very much, are you serious? Are you kidding? In my experience, we've never had any pushback from ideological standpoint, the analyst said. Several key departments, including Health and Human Services, which oversees the CDC, and Justice, Education, Housing, and Urban Development, have changed some federal policies and how they collect government information about lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender Americans. In March, for example, the HHS dropped questions about sexual orientation and gender identity in two surveys of elderly people. HHS also removed information about LGBT Americans from its website, because I guess they don't exist now. The Department's Administration for Children and Families, for example, archived a page that outlined federal services that are available for LGBT people and their families, including how they can adopt and receive help if they are victims of sex trafficking. At the CDC, several offices have responsibilities of work that uses... At the CDC, several offices have responsibilities for work that uses some of these words. The National Center for HIV, AIDS, Viral Hepatitis, STDs, TB Prevention is working on ways to prevent HIV among transgender people and reduce health disparities. The CDC works on birth defects caused by Zika virus, you get the idea, and developing fetuses. The ban is related to the budget and supporting materials that are given to the CDC partners and to Congress. But, however, see, this was just added. I was all ready to sink my teeth into you, Joe. But I don't know if I can sink as much as I'd like to, because I was ready. I was primed. In the statement sent to NBC News, CDC Director Dr. Brenda Fitzgerald pushed back against reports that the agency had prohibited use of the words vulnerable, entitlement, diversity, transgender, fetus, evidence-based, and science-based. She said, the CDC remains committed to our public health mission as a science and evidence-based institution, providing for the common defense of the country against health threats. Science and will remain the foundation of our work, Fitzgerald said. As I've said previously, there are no banned, prohibited, or forbidden words at the CDC. I understand the confusion arose from a staff-level discussion at a routine meeting about how to present CDC's budget. It was never intended to overall guidance for how we describe and conduct of the CDC's work. All right. So I don't know. We have conflicting stories here. So I don't know if this is the Trump administration trying to backtrack, or was it just a misunderstanding at a staff level? I don't know what's going on.
That's a very good thing, because basically I did not see that addendum to the story. So my whole thing was this a directive handed down by, you know, Trump himself?
Oh, but boy, were you going to get it if it was.
Like I was at the meeting.
Yeah, well, no, but he's your guy. But now, because they've come out and said it's a misunderstanding, I can't sink my teeth in as much. I still have concerns, and there's still things that are worth talking about.
I don't know even if you could really sink your teeth into me, because basically I would believe that you really can't ban those words if you can, you know.
Oh, no, not you personally. You for your vote and all that he is.
Well, all right, so let's suppose that these words are banned. What are the consequences of them being used? What are the
Well, we'll get there. Well, I guess you'd be shot. I guess you'd be un-American. You wouldn't be making America great. I don't know. I don't know what the
because delving deeper, you could think that it might have been somebody on the inside in the religious right that did not want those words in.
Well, I think we're looking at the possibility that the words need to be taken out because of the religious right politicians in Congress. I think that's what it was. If you
had to pinpoint it, I would guess that that might have been.
If you're taking what Dr. Fitzgerald was saying, because she's not denying that this happened, she's just saying, no, we're not banning it. This was on how we're going to present it, which is a problem in its own right. I know the right likes to call the left a bunch of snowflakes. I get it. It's a fun time to do. But if we can't have our religious right politicians hearing things like fetus and science and evidence-based, we got some real friggin' problems. We need to get those people out of positions of government where they can't hear words and we can't pass budgets if they hear a word. Are you kidding me? Are we having this conversation?
Yes. It's in the prep sheet. It says it right here.
I understand. I understand. But I mean, do you understand how ludicrous this is?
Yes.
I mean, because Dr. Fitzgerald isn't saying the conversation didn't happen. Yes. She's just saying, no, we just have to couch certain things this way. We would never talk this way, but we got some morons that need to hear this.
It sounds like they were handed down a directive that the people that handed it down looked like there could be some backlash, so they're stepping it back, and then she's the spokesperson that has to explain this nonsense.
This is not how you run a country. You don't run a country by banning words because some people are going to get offended. I'd be upset if the left was doing it. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. What are we going to do? Burn books next? It's absurd.
Yes. And if you let it go that way, yeah.
But here now. But so we don't know what the deal on that is. We don't know for sure. But Health and Human Services has removed information about LGBT Americans from its website. So, Joe, I'm going to go to you, and I'll go to you, Rob, because you guys are both Trump guys. It's good to have two of you here in studio. How does this fit in with the president's campaign promise to be the best for the LGBT community? I remember that. I believe he wrapped himself in a nice rainbow flag at the time. Kudos to the president or the candidate. How does that stack up?
Well, it doesn't. And I get a funny feeling is that he generally does care about those people. Unfortunately, there might be people on a religious right that got in. And that
so he's not a man of your best defense is he's not a man of conviction.
Who knows if
he's the president?
I understand that, but in some circumstances, you can't micromanage everything. He might have had somebody in there from the religious right or from that perspective that started doing this without him going to the president.
I'm going to push back on you because he's the one who tweeted about banning transgenders from the military, which is not going the way he wanted to.
However, there was a reason for doing.
I understand it, but that's not what he ran on.
I understand that, but in the thing of the military, there's logistics you have to look out for. There is something where if they're not accommodating to the people that are the transgender, they might be
lawsuits. But the Pentagon and the courts and all the branches of the military said nuh-uh. So they know a little bit better than never served a day Donald Trump.
I understand that, but there are some that still think that it could be a problem.
I understand that, but my point is, forgetting about the merits of that argument, he said he was going to be the best for the LGBT community. That is not the best for them.
All right. On that subject, maybe it is, maybe it's not.
No, it's not the best for them. It's not the best. Denying somebody
is it the best for them or the best to run a military?
I'm telling you what he ran on. I'm not.
But what I'm saying is, when it comes to the military
is always ahead of the civilian population on how the military was the first to integrate. Before society integrated, it was the military who integrated because the military has a very clear chain of command and things that need to be accomplished. You can either do it or you can't do it. It's results based. It's none of this touchy feely crap that you can't hear words or do certain things because they need. Can you do the job? Yes, you stay. If you can't do the job, you go. That's what the military is based on.
Well, they're saying they could base it on if they have to go through a whole psychological profile.
And they've done
and
it.
All this,
and, they've, you know. And they've been serving and whatever. But that my point is he's not being true to his word. All right. We don't know if these words were banned for sure. I think it's kind of a little bit gray area because we don't know if that we know that Congress apparently can't hear them. We know that much. We don't know if the scientists are allowed to say them because whether this Dr. Fitzgerald is backtracking or she's being forthright, we don't know. So I'm not going to condemn her for that. But we do know Congress can't hear these words, apparently. Or a conversation was heard that Congress can't hear these words. So
is that know for certain that's the reason behind the ban? Is because
that was
Congress
the conversation. And when Dr. Fitzgerald pushed back, she never said that this conversation didn't happen. She said it was never meant to be used as the way we do our policy. This was talking about budgets and Congress. So,
has there been any word from the American Civil Liberties Union?
Not that I'm aware of. But okay. You know what?
That's more out of curiosity than anything else.
We do want to help. We do want to help in case these words have been eliminated. So we as always at Davin's Den, we're quite helpful.
Yes.
Joe mm-hmm. came up with some alternatives for entitlement and science-based.
Yes. Gimme.
Is that entitlement?
That's for entitlement.
Gimme.
Also, we could sub hand me out or freeloader.
Very right wing of you, Joe. and your other one?
Okay. For science-based, I would use Mr. Spock-based, egghead-based, or nerd derivative.
You can't even say that last one.
Derivative.
There you go. Well, you're certainly trying to help.
Yes.
You're an inspiration.
Yes.
Now, Pip wants to come up with some alternative words or phrases for diversity and transgender.
Well, I believe that one alternative for diversity, you could say all kinds of folks, but I believe that the GOP preferred is whites and coloreds.
And nobody else.
They left out Mexico.
I think they're in the college bracket.
Gotcha.
Go on.
And the different word thing that you could use instead of transgender is you could say genitally challenged. However, I believe the GOP preferred is royally screwed up.
Sounds technical. All right, so I came up with alternatives for fetus, vulnerable and evidence based. For fetus, instead of fetus, we will now use the phrase midget stuck inside a human. you may also use Joy Juice the sequel, or subject of Maury Povich's best episodes. Those can all be used in place of fetus. instead of vulnerable, you may now use Had It Coming. you may also use pussy or thing unable to get good lobbyists. And my final one, instead of evidence based, we will now use nuh-uh. People are saying, I read it on the internet, I saw it on a meme. And the action of actually sticking your head in the sand. We'll be back.
This is Davinston.
We are back. I'm trying to see if we have a short version of Scambusters. Joe, did we ever make a short version of that?
No.
Oh, I guess that'll end that
It's up to you to edit it.
Yeah, that's not happening. No, we don't have that. Wait, no, we only have the 4 minute and 50 second version.
You've always done a fine DJ style edit of it on the fly live.
Tonight should not be that night. All right, so this is a segment. We haven't done this in a while. I go onto scammers and hackers groups and websites, and I like to see what they're saying about us, how they operate.
They actually have websites that, like, they communicate with each other on and operate on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, not, like, it's awesome for you.
Rob's got a second job.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome for you and for what you're doing. That's fantastic.
Yes, they're a boon to my business.
Well, I would love to know what they're saying about you.
Well, it's a good
saying?
Thing you're here tonight.
Hell yeah. This is great. Joe, we were doing the other one.
Ann Jackson.
Oh, Ann Jackson, yes.
Oh, it was great. That was hysterical.
So this is from WebD. I don't know if that's his birth certificate name, but this is his name.
Sounds like it.
So he goes, I can design any bank website at all in the world and create an account for you with username and password and flash money inside. So if you give the login to a client, client is victim, that's what they call him, he, she will see that you have money in your account. Serious movement to make your client believe and trust you. So say, hey, I can pay you back. Just send me some money now. I need it now. So he's going to create a fake website for you. I can also design gold website. Remember, we were talking about gold bars earlier. Shipping company website with tracking number and many more. So if anything, just link me up. So you know how like you go on, you get like these emails and you click onto a fake site? This is kind of what he's doing.
Gotcha. Okay. I've never actually clicked on one.
Well, that's good. let's see. This is from Carly D. Shadakid.
Carly D. Shadakid.
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 Shadakid. They will take my. They will take money from you in exchange for something, but they won't go the terms you all agreed on. So he's like, so they're asking what like what are rippers are. I think rippers are other scammers that you can't trust.
Yeah, because the way he stated that, the sounds like they'll state a fee to get information, and then they will charge you a higher rate. So it's like,
or they won't give you what you promised.
Well, yeah. So the scammers are scamming each other.
It's shocking that they would do that.
Yeah, really.
They're such upstanding people.
You figure there's honor among thieves.
Yeah, well, I guess not. This is Bonero Marv. I'm really in need of boss, like right now, and if possible, short format. A boss is somebody you work for, so like they will tell you how to do it, and they'll give you the format, maybe the script,
mm-hmm.
to scam somebody because a lot of scammers work from scripts, and then this person Bonero would give back a portion, whatever's agreed upon with the boss, back. So
that's awesome. These people just need a rot in hell.
Yeah.
You never hear that's awesome and these people need to rot in hell and back to back. Awesome.
What was sarcasm?
So that one was basically looking for a scammer pimp.
A spot like a sponsor. Somebody to sponsor and set him up with contacts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His scammer pimp.
Yeah.
Yes. This is Tev Emanuel. Hello, dear friends. For those who want to be Yahoo boys, Yahoo, they're used to, before, when they had Yahoo Messenger, that's where a lot of them worked. They call them Yahoo boys. Scammers. Here comes your opportunity. If you have made up your mind to be a Yahoo boy and make money beyond your imagination, and you need help on the format, then contact me. Should we give his email address?
Why not?
Right? If you want to be a scammer, contact him. Give him some attention. Give him a virus. I didn't say that. Don't give him a computer virus. And listeners, please do not send this email address I'm about to send you a computer virus. That would make me very sad if you sent this person a computer virus and shut them down.
It would be awful if you did.
It's terrible. I am NAPIC. I am Napic at yahoo.com. And I also have his phone number if you want, but I don't know if you want to call Africa. No, this is for serious minds only. So,
oh my god,
what do you think of this, Rob?
The fact that there is a community of these people communicating with each other, you would almost think there'd be rivals. You would almost think that they'd be trying to shut each other down.
They don't work. There's enough people to go around. Enough victims to go around.
Yeah. I just wish that people weren't so dumb as to fall for it. But
it's not dumb. It's naive. You don't know.
Yeah. There was. I was watching the news last week, and there was a woman on there that got scammed out of thousands of dollars. It's basically some of the people that, you know, along the lines of some of the people that we talk about on the show. There was a guy said that he was down in his luck, that he loved her, and she wound up sending thousands and thousands of dollars, and it turned out to be overseas, you know, and she just lost thousands of dollars. It's horrible, you know, but and it happens, and people have to be cautious. I had a coworker of mine, his son got in a car accident, and for some reason, this is interesting, a scammer got his information and said that he had the car and to Western Union him $500 to get everything underway. The kid is going to school up in Rhode Island.
Right.
And the father is, he lost his wife, and he really never handled stuff. The wife used to handle stuff. She passed away last year. And he got scammed out of $500. So he goes, yeah, I Western Union. I go, never, ever, if anybody, it's a scam right off the bat. So it's happening domestically as well. Well, it could have been an overseas thing. But they picked up the information about the car accident, sent him the information saying, well, I got the car, I need $500.
I wonder if they had employed a hacker and got into the police report.
It was very interesting. So this isn't the romance scammer, but this is a scammer domestically over this guy's son getting an offender bender and some guy saying that he's the auto body guy.
They might have a connection at the police station.
Yeah.
Something, a way to get that information. Interesting. So, Allo Holler Midday. You know him.
Mm.
Guys, I can activate United Kingdom U.S. numbers for WhatsApp and even make your Nigerian number ring when client dial your U.K. U.S. number. PM, interesting. So, this is we've dealt with this before. They'll give you, like, fake numbers. So, appear. So somebody from Nigeria will be calling, but it'll look like an American number. It'll look like you'd be calling from Connecticut or whatever, but you're really calling.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's the way they do it.
Makes sense. Heard of that.
This was advertised on a scammers group. We sell scam websites, documents, applications, credit cards, accounts, VPNs, VPS, RDPs, mail extractors, verifiers, spam pages, key lockers, rats, and more. And then they show a fake Delta Airlines site that they created. So this is what we talk about, the fake site. It's getting more and more sophisticated.
Yeah.
They can pretty much do anything, which is why you always got to, when you go online, you always got to make sure you're looking at an HTML site.
Yeah.
That way it's, or no, excuse me, HTTP site. Excuse me, HTTP site, because those are the secure sites. And you want to do this, you don't want to go on somebody's website on a link. You want to do it yourself. And key loggers, that way they can monitor what you type in.
Yeah.
That's a virus that they can put in. They've hacked it, spam. All this stuff is on there. And Tools Lab Inc., the extractor extracts bulk mails of your choice. His extractor can extract up to 50,000 mails in less than 20 minutes. You can search using keywords, filter rules, Craigslist plugin, LinkedIn plugin, Yelp plugin. Our email extractor also can email... Extractor can easily handle hundreds of thousands of emails extracted from different Facebook pages as well. So they can just look for certain things that they're looking for. You know, I guess if they're looking for, like, Bank of America and all these emails,
yeah,
they can just do...
Keyword, like this guy looked up this one thing, you know, and scammed my friend.
He says, while our verifier help and verify the extracted mails, it removes all bad blocked email addresses to avoid bounce back when sending mails. Our product is 100% tested and trusted. You can join our Tools Lab community on WhatsApp and meet with other Tools Lab users worldwide. And then, of course, you can join them. Free VPS webmail for sending mails per hour. So there you go. They are raising their game, just making you aware of what they're doing.
And make yourself aware when you're going onto the internet and make sure everything is legit before you go on anything.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
Pip, do you have cat issues?
Well, you know what? I do. We were talking about how you guys had been at a motel that was covered in cats.
Yes.
And it reminded me of a story where one time I was at my friend's house, and I love cats. You know I have cats. And
you're a collector.
I love cats. Anyway, I was at my friend's house, and I was going to have dinner over, and they had three cats. And, you know, most of them are pretty well behaved, except for this one named Squirty.
Rob's a fan of that one.
kind of a gross name for a cat anyway.
Or the best name ever.
So I was actually sitting at the dinner table because they were starting to bring things out, and, you know, it was just best to sit down. And Squirty jumps up on the table and gets over to the bar of butter that they've sat on the table and starts licking the whole bar, like going nuts on it. And so I said, Squirty's eating the butter. And so my friend takes a little while to come out, and she goes, oh, Squirty, get down from there, and pulls the cat off the table. So everything's fine so far, but she leaves the butter on the table. And apparently, from the way that she said something like, oh, she does that sometimes.
Does she?
Note to self, yeah. Don't eat butter.
I'm going to pass on the toast.
That the things that are being put down on the table for us to eat all contain butter. There's roasted potatoes with butter on them, and there's string beans with butter on them, and there's not a damn thing they put on the table that didn't have butter used.
This is where you say you're lactose intolerant.
Or cat-tose intolerant.
I can eat anything you've just put out.
That's what I would say. Yes, if I've just seen the cat go to town on the butter, and the owner says, oh, the cat does that sometimes. Does she? You know what I do sometimes? I smack a cat that eats the butter. That's what I do
and
sometimes.
And then what I do with the butter, I throw it out.
That's what I do
every
time. Because
the cat's been licking on it for 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. The cat can lick himself, but he can't lick the butter. Them's the rules.
Right, because I'm not going to eat the cat.
Hopefully.
Like, wouldn't you, as the person who just saw your cat doing this in front of your guests, be horrified and like throw that freaking butter out immediately?
Yeah, I'm the norm. I'm the norm. Yes,
but this person doesn't see a problem with it, which means I'm willing to bet. And you're in your time since you've known this person for a long time, you've eaten cat spit. You have ingested cat saliva. It coursing through your bloodstream right now is cat juices that you have had squirties juices inside of you. That's what I'm saying right now, because you've eaten there before and now you just know. So now you can, based on that.
I just know. Well, I am actually no longer in touch with this person, so I have stopped being fated with plates full of cat saliva for dinner.
Was this the reason you ended the relationship?
No, this was not, but it was one of the things that made me say, I'm never eating over there again, and I didn't.
What an awful human being.
You know, there are plates that people sell that say things like, oh, things are better with a cat hair in it. I'm like, no, no.
Who says that?
Cats.
Point taken.
So do you ever have cats on your dining room table, Pip?
You know what? They occasionally walk across there, but before any food gets put on it, the table gets wiped down, because we are not having cats on the table while we're eating or before we're eating. That's just nasty.
Is it possible?
I love cats, but not with my food.
Is it possible this woman loves her cat more than you love your cats? Maybe the problem's you.
You know what? No, I think she just likes dirt more than I do.
Well, that's saying something.
I know.
Because if there's one thing you are, it's pro-dirt.
I am usually pro-filth.
Squalor.
Pro-squalor.
Pip is running on the pro-squalor platform.
Yes. Everything everywhere.
Except on butter. Yeah. If it was margarine, Pip would have overlooked it. But butter, it's a little much.
If you think it's butter, but it's cat.
So you didn't eat anything that night?
No, unfortunately, I did.
Of course you did, because you were hungry and your tummy got in the way of your good
she
sense.
She had filet meow.
We'll be back.
This is Davin's Den.
Joe has a happy Santa story, a good Santa story.
Mm-hmm. Basically, earlier in the previous show, we were talking about the Santa gigs that Rob and I do.
That was last week's show, Joe.
I understand that. I said in a previous show.
Oh, did you?
Yes, in a previous show, we discussed the Santa gigs that we do. We do private parties. We go out and do them. And sometimes they could be hell, but sometimes...
Those are the ones we like.
Yeah, the ones we like. But there are sometimes... Like, you go out and you do these shows, and you know, you're like, oh boy, what's next? There are some times that you go into a home and you do feel that you make a difference and you do bring joy and you wish you could do more.
Never this home.
No, never this. a lot of times you'll do a gig and you'll ask a child what would you like for Christmas, and they go, I'd like my mom to be cancer.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah. And you sit there and go, well, we'll see what we can do. And you wish.
Did you tell me just a man in a fat suit?
No. But you do. I'm just a man with a fat head.
Well, I know what you're saying. You have that moment. It's like you have an opportunity to do something.
Yeah, but you can't
no
cure
gift
cancer.
Could do for that kid.
You're not.
Yes, but you're also Santa Claus.
You're Santa Claus. You
with puke on your leg.
Yeah, with puke. But you see, but right, that's it. But you just feel that you have. You know, people look at you to try to work this miracle, and you wish so much that you could do that.
Sounds depressing.
You know, it is in a way, but you sit there and you try to bring hope to people that maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, if they got terminal cancer, you can't bring hope.
But you know what, though, with kids, every single time, well, not every single time, more often than not, when a kid sees Santa, like, the whole world just, whatever, anything that's going on, just like stops, and like they're saying it's a celebrity thing. Like this, they're like mystified by him, and like that's you know, that's what Joe's getting at. And when you sit down, you got this kid in your lap that, and he's telling you, you know, like I the only thing I want is for my father to get a job. I only want for my mom to beat cancer.
Well, how's he feel about dressing up as Santa Claus?
You know, but then, like, you have this moment where you can say something that impacts that kid, and you can actually turn whatever negative feeling into something good, at least for a time being.
Yeah, as much as, you know, we, Robbie and I goof, you do have this obligation. You do have this obligation to be Santa and bring the joy of Santa and the magic of Santa. As cornball as it sounds, and we goof on it, you do. This season I had two different shows, but there were two people there that had cerebral palsy. And the first show, I went up to this girl and I held her hand and I was singing to her. And the joy on her face was just extraordinary. And you sit there and you feel that, you know, you're doing something right in the world. And then, you know, you're trying to do something right in the world. I also had my last show on Sunday. There was another girl with cerebral palsy. And he said, oh, we'd like to put, you know, you put her on your lap and take a picture. And I'm holding this girl, you know, like she's fidgeting around, you know, but you're holding her and you feel like if you had the power, like you felt like the way Jesus did, you felt like if there was like some magic power that you had to cure this girl and she would get up and she would not have this affliction. You just feel so bad for this young woman who has such a great attitude, who's having such a great time, but this damn disease is just chaining her.
Sounds heart-wrenching and depressing.
But the thing is that you're bringing her joy in that moment.
Well, that's the good part.
You know, you're bringing her joy in that moment, and that's something that is an amazing feeling.
Maybe you should be Santa year round.
Yeah.
Sometimes in July.
He's good enough.
But it's like, you know,
be happy to see him.
But it's, you know, it's the same way, Damon, when you do comedy and somebody comes up after the show. You know, I lost a relative of someone last week and I really needed to come here.
And
made me happy. And it's just something that we do out of our day that brings somebody profound and ultimate joy. So and to me, Christmas is so commercialized, it's so rushed. You know, when you actually
got 12 days, how many do you want?
Well, but when you actually do that, that to me is the essence of the holiday.
No, that's nice.
You know, and it's amazing, you know, and it's an amazing thing.
I don't know. The whole cancer thing, that would be just rush. Terrible. Unless you're going to get him into Sloan Kettering. That's just a helpless feeling.
You feel, yeah, you do. And that's the whole thing. When you know, you hit it on the head, you do feel helpless with that. You know, but you do your best.
You should give him a Fragile Sky CD. help get through this tough time.
I'm sorry. But you do try to do the best to reassure this child that things are going to try to be all right. You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, last year I had one that was, it wasn't to the level of the kids with the cerebral palsy, but I got to do it at Fort Dix, McGuire Air Force Base, and it was at this barracks for this unit of Marines, and it was all the kids. I didn't realize it when I got there. There was kids all over the place, but when I got there and I sat down, the kids started lining up and started giving them out presents. I started to realize that their parents weren't there. Their parents were deployed, or in some of the cases, the parents were gone. In most of those cases, one parent at least was just somewhere else. So they had a chaperone that was guiding all these kids. I sort of realized what I was doing there.
Yeah.
And you step it up. And then there was nothing unpleasant about that hour job. They didn't go rummaging through. They didn't crowd me. They didn't, you know, nobody was pulling on Santa's beard. Mm-hmm. Everybody was being cool. And here I am with a bunch of Marines. They rolled me in on a fire truck, that was like one of the coolest things ever. And then like at the end of that, I left there feeling like, I just gave these kids a moment of joy in this time when their parents aren't around to share it with them or provide it for them. You know, it's like something else.
At the end of the day, you feel good. You did good. You know,
couldn't even accept payment for the job. I wouldn't have felt good cashing that check.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
So the little town next to where I live has no school system. They have no police force. Many of their shops and restaurants have closed over the past several years. It is essentially a speed trap where neighboring town patrols as they rake in money. I've gotten tickets there. I believe Joe's gotten tickets there.
Yes.
I think even Pip's gotten tickets there.
Oh, yes, I have.
Yes, I have. And if Rob keeps on coming up, he'll get tickets there. Because them's the rule.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so slow through that little town.
As well you should be. I think, so... What they do have?
And that's a little quaint town in there.
Quaint, ugh. Yes, yeah, yes.
I pay you. I understand.
What they do have, what they do have, is one tiny little post office. This post office does not have the same hours as a regular post office does. Not open the same amount of time. It does not have the same.
Because I use the post office a lot. Because on show day, if I have letters to mail, I go, ah, heck, I can't. I'll merit that little post office on the way into the show.
No, you drop in the mailbox.
Yeah. No, God knows they're never open.
Exactly. It's only staffed by one person. Seems to be they're constantly rotating people in and out of there. It's only one person. The post office been, now we know the Postal Service has been losing money for years.
Right.
They're always talking about that. A couple of years ago when they were closing post offices, I thought, well, this would be one to go. Because it's the closest to my house, but the town where I live has a good sized post office with several workers that's full functioning.
Right.
And the town on the other side of that little quaint town, as Joe likes to call it, has a very big post office, fully functioning, regular hours, several sorts of postal workers going in and out there. Now, both these main post offices that I talked about, like the one in my town, staff very friendly, very nice, very helpful. Go the extra mile. At the other post office on the other side of it, which I don't go to as frequently, very, very informative, very courteous, very professional. I don't hate postal workers. I know better. They'll shoot you.
Yes.
So the other day, I go into this little quaint post office to mail a certified letter. I've never mailed a certified letter, but I had a reason to mail a certified letter that I was discussing with Robert earlier before the show.
Is that what you're discussing with me on the tour?
I don't think so.
Okay.
That might have been another reason. So I noticed somebody else was in there, and the postal worker was very dour and lethargic. She was a Zoftic woman, but not a very nice person. He was, like, trying to make chit-chat as he was dropping off. I think he was, like, from UPS or whatever, which is kind of weird. It's like, why are you doing work with the enemy? I don't know. But it's like, and, like, she's not giving him the time of day. All right. I did my business. I said good day. Nothing really coming from her. That's fine. This isn't going to be a great experience. That's fine. She did what I needed to do. I don't need her for conversation. Saturday morning. So I've mailed my certified mail. It has not been picked up. Saturday morning, I go to track it. I don't know what's going on with it. So I don't know what happens when certified mail doesn't get delivered. So I need questions asked. So I go to the post office. I roll in at 11:15 in the morning on a Saturday. Seems like a perfectly reasonable time to be open, doesn't it?
Yes.
Rob?
Yeah. Of course.
Pip, we all agree. The door, I stroll in at 11:15. The lights are on. The doors are open. And dour woman goes, we're closed. No, no, you're not closed. If you were closed, I'd be outside. See, that's how closed works. You're open because I got inside. No windows were broken. I did not sneak in a secret entrance. I walked through the front door.
Which was unlocked.
Exactly. Lights on. And now there's a guy rummaging through packages, mail at the counter. He goes, oh, less Christmas cards this year. Whatever. Shut up, stupid. Nobody wants to see your stupid Christmas cards. So I go, hey, I just need you to answer a question. We're closed. No, you're not closed. Can you just answer a question? I shouldn't even be open now. But you are.
Yeah.
But you are.
You're here. I'm here. Maybe you can answer me a simple question.
Yeah, just answer the question. Then the guy at the counter goes. Now he has to chime in. The guy at the counter goes, the only reason she's open is because I'm here. Really? You wanted to interject into this conversation? I am in no mood on a Saturday morning. I go, well, aren't you special?
God, this sounds like if I was there.
Was I wrong?
No! No! No!
Thank you.
You're asking a simple question. I'm not trying. A simple question. You're here. The lights are on. I need an answer.
It's 15 minutes afterwards, and you're doing stuff. You're sitting there getting fatter. Let's go. Answer a question.
Oh, my God.
I don't mean to be racist, but if there was a time, she would have gotten a whipping because she would not be good at the picking. She was not. She was not good at her job. I don't need a postal worker to powder my tush. I just need you to be decent. You should not be in. A lot of the postal work is customer service.
You know what? You know. I don't know about you, but if I'm in a situation like that, you tell them what the deal's going to be. I want a question. I need an answer.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to get the answer. Well, what was I going to do, berate her and still not get an answer?
Well, at least you got your yayas out berating her.
Well, I gave the guy a what for.
Yeah.
Sit there and go through your stupid postcards. What? Who needs? I posted this on Facebook.
You told stupid that, right?
Yes, I told. I told like, aren't you special?
Yeah, shut your face. Go through your cards.
I mean, the only thing worse than a white knight social justice warrior on social media is in person. I got no time for that. I got stuff to do.
Yeah.
I'm living a life. Why don't you rummage through your stupid cards and your goddamn fruitcake and do it in your car? Cause she's closed.
Oh my God.
Do you get your answer?
I had to go to the other post office. I had to drive 5 more miles.
She couldn't answer you one simple question?
She's closed.
God forbid.
The only thing that wasn't closed was her mouth when she's shoving stupid food in it. Pip, am I wrong?
You know, the time she took to tell you that, she could have answered your question.
Yes, it was a very simple question.
I would have been escorted out by the police. I would have escorted. You answer that damn question. I'm answering you a simple question. You're overpaid as it is. I answered my question. I'm not driving to the next town, and I'm not leaving until I get my question answered.
The question was, what happens to certified mail when it's back at the post office and they haven't picked up? That's it. That was it.
Did you actually ask that question?
I didn't get a chance.
I would have told it. No, that's my question, and I'm not leaving until I get it answered. So how about the answer?
I should have done that. Stupid. But the guy at the counter pissed me off even more. And now I won't go to that post office.
Well, stupid in his Christmas cards. Here's one for me. Open it up. Oh, a bowl with go to hell on it.
My wife did not have the same enthusiasm with the retelling of the aren't you special as you three fine folks did. Why do you always have to be a jerk?
Oh, yeah. Why don't you? I love her, but let her go down there, have them go wear clothes, and have her drive across town.
Exactly.
To get a simple question answered.
And who does this social justice warrior think he is? I hope you get coal. All right. Rob, what's shaking?
January the 5th at the Comedy Haven of Molly Maguire's. I got Terry McNeely coming up. That's going to be a whole lot of fun with KP Burke emceeing, and Chris Johnston is going to be the feature, so it's going to be a hell of a show. Come on out and catch it. Molly Maguire's, the Comedy Haven of Molly Maguire's, Clark, New Jersey. Check it out.
Joseph?
Next that time, I do not have anything cooking. However, I will be there, I think, the following week.
There you go.
The 19th. Can't wait to have you.
Yeah.
Tuesday through Sunday, I'll be performing at Joker's Wild in Atlantis Resorts in the Bahamas. So if you're in the area, come on by.
I wish I was. Cold.
Yeah. It'll be a good time. Good time. My annual sojourn over there. Yeah, so that's it. Follow us on Twitter at Davinsden. Like us on Facebook, Davinsden. Listen to the whole show, unedited, davinsden.com. Rob, thank you for coming in and hanging out with us.
Davin, Joe.
Yeah, thanks,
and,
pal.
And Pip, thank you guys so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
We wish you all a happy and healthy new year.
Yes.
And we'll see you later on in 2018. So if you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.